Second hour, Aaron Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday morning. Hope everybody's having a good day. The weather's nice. Temperatures are starting to cool down. And Titans got a win last night over Denver to start off their season. Don't forget, you can listen to us anywhere in the world. Yeah, it's really easy to do. Download the Game Nashville app. That's free and easy to do. You can enable Alexa Skill or Google Home, whether you have that set up in your home or your office place like I do. You can ask it to play 102.5 The Game. It's very easy. Or you can live stream from our website, which is thegamenashville.com. Our next guest could have done any of those ways to listen to us when he was out in Denver. Eric Bacharach is on the line with us, covers the Titans for the Tennessean. Eric, how you doing?
I'm doing well, guys. Thanks for having me on.
What did you make of last night's win? What was your takeaway? Kind of give us your capsule of last night's victory.
It's kind of hard to put it into words because it felt like, you know, the entire time the Titans were just staving off disaster. But, you know, to me, this is a game that, you can't take for granted. The Broncos were 18-2 in their last 20 home games. Now, obviously, a big part of that, the fans, was mitigated by, an empty stadium. But it's still a really hard place to open a season in. You know, the Broncos were missing Cortland Sutton, which, you know, is a big part of their offense. But at the same time, the Titans were missing Adoree Jackson. Obviously, the field goal kicking for the Titans is an ongoing nightmare and a situation to continue to monitor. Kind of didn't feel real as it was unfolding last year, given, how much of a headache it was last year to see those struggles continue. But to see the Titans pull out a win in spite of that, I think is telling because to me, the game itself really had the feel of a game that early last year they would have found a way to lose. Instead, you know, they found a way to win. And, I think overall the offense was okay. No explosive element that, you know, we saw so much last season. And the defense, to me, you know, had one or two bad series, but overall was pretty clutch, came up with a few big moments. And I think on the whole, you know, there was enough encouraging things here where you feel good about heading into week two, except, of course, the kicking game. To me, that's obviously the headline stealer here.
Mike Vrabel is going to talk today at 12:30. You know he's going to get asked a lot about Steven Kostkowski. He may even drop his head today because he'll be so tired of the questions. But with that being said, we've been discussing it the first hour of the show. You know, everybody's got their opinions. We've had people calling in, people texting in. What would you do? Would you roll the dice and stick with him and see if he can pull out of this? And it was just literally the worst night of his NFL career? Or would you cut bait and try to find a better option? What would you do, and how do you think Mike Vrabel's going to handle that today?
I think the move is probably to wait and see at least another week. You know, if we see him miss, you know, let's say another two field goals this weekend, I think for sure that would be a cue to cut bait. But, you know, I don't know how many compelling options are out there, as far as guys that they could bring in, that the only in-house available option is Tucker McCann, undrafted rookie who was on the practice squad, who looked okay, had a couple of good days out there in training camp. You know, he kind of stayed steady with Greg Joseph before the team parted with him. So, you know, I think they roll with Kostkowski for at least another week. You know, Mike Vrabel said after the game yesterday that he was confident that it'll get corrected. I think in a lot of ways that could be interpreted as coach speak.
He's got to say that, but there's no proof of that.
Yeah.
I mean, between last year so far this year, there's no proof that they've got the kicking game figured out.
Absolutely. Going back to last year, that's the case. So, the reason I think they wait and see is just because they're invested in the guy. You know, they're financially committed to him, at this point. So, I think he looked okay as far as, you know, length and strength on his kicks, which, you know, to me was a little bit of a concern just coming off a hip surgery in October. It's not an easy decision as far as what they should do with him. I think you wait it out another week and see what happens there.
I was blown away by Jeffrey Simmons last night. And it's not because I didn't think he was good. It just he really, really stood out. And I feel like he's turned a corner and taken another step forward. And he is quickly turning into a guy that every team who faces the Titans is going to be in that meeting room on the offensive side of the ball planning around number 98.
Absolutely. And, you know, the funny thing is that last year we saw flashes of it. You know, even going back to his debut, you know, I think there were moments there where he kind of saw what he could become if he reached his full potential. And the thing with last year is that, you know, he played the entire season with a brace on his left knee, you know, was not that far removed from ACL surgery in February of 2019. And, you know, I think this offseason was really important for him in, you know, completely getting past that. You know, Simmons said himself that, you know, he wasn't fully healthy and I guess just himself playing last year and heading into this year, all of that was behind him. He felt much more himself. He showed up to training camp looking leaner, you know, if he could say that about a 310-pound person. And, you know, just more athletic, just looked like he had a lot more power in some of his moves. And you know, I think, as you said, that kind of showed itself yesterday. And I think, honestly, it's probably just a sign of things to come. And, you know, I think when you add a guy like Jadeveon Clowney, that only helps a guy like Jeffrey Simmons, who, you know, benefits from the opposing offense having to focus on another guy aside from just him. So I think he's poised for a huge season. I think the leap that we're going to see from him from year one to year two is going to be substantial.
Eric Bacharach is with us. He covers the Titans for the Tennessean. Eric, intriguing situation that they were forced into with the Dory Jackson's injury. First, update us on Jackson, because it's important for people to know that getting placed on injured reserve doesn't mean what it has used to mean. What it used to mean.
Yeah, exactly. It's not, you know, as far as that designation goes, it's not as long term a thing. But Dory being placed on injured reserve means he's only going to miss at least three games, including last night's. You know, depending on the severity of the injury itself. We know it's a knee issue. It popped up, I believe it was Thursday's practice that he suffered that injury. You know, he was a late addition to the practice report last week, and then he didn't practice the following day. So we don't, you know, exactly know the severity of the injury. It was a surprise because, you know, up until that point, he hadn't appeared on the injury report. And, you know, by all accounts was feeling good and playing well in practices, you know, so it's something to continue to monitor. Again, we don't know the severity of his injury at this point, but, you know, he'll be eligible to return, in week four, you know, early October. So, you know, that's a silver lining and the Titans could certainly use him out there, you know, as their top corner. Last night, you know, we saw a lot of Chris Jackson, some Christian Fulton, Jonathan Joseph. But if you get a Dory back out there, you know, that's really big.
Right. And let's hope that it's only in the neighborhood of three games. But in the meantime, I think, Eric, it's fair to say that they are going to face better passing attacks. And now Chris Jackson and Christian Fulton come on down. You know, they're going to have to get mileage out of those guys. I still see a secondary that's a little bit thin. That's got to be a bit of a concern in the short term.
Yeah. And honestly, it was a little surprising to see Chris Jackson kind of thrust into the role that he was last night, you know, ahead of a guy like Christian Fulton. Chris Jackson was on the field before Fulton got in there. Fulton really only came in for the first time after Jonathan Joseph got shook up a little bit and Fulton spelled him in there. But, you know, Chris Jackson has drawn high praise, you know, from the coaching staff. Kevin Byard went off about him in a positive way. During the practice week last week, you know, said a lot of really positive things about him, about his work ethic and all of that. And, you know, I think Christian Fulton missing as much time as he did in training camp. He missed probably 10 or so days. I think it was seven or eight practices, you know, with an injury. You know, I think that looms large as far as his readiness, you know, for week one, just because those reps are so valuable for a rookie, you know. So I think with no preseason games and coupled with missing some training camp time, takes a little bit of time for him to get up to speed. So, you know, I think for both of those guys, last night's game was important experience. I think it's a situation where as we go along, you know, they'll get more comfortable, get more acclimated, and, you know, that should, you know, bode well for the performance going forward.
Eric, I look at it from the Broncos' perspective. They probably feel like they did a pretty good job on Derrick Henry, and yet he still had 113 yards, but they didn't give up any of the big plays. They had a lot of success, but that just shows you, you know, the expectation level for Henry and what he does. It took a lot to hold him to 116 yards.
Yeah, it's funny because I think either way you look at it, you could see it in a positive light. The Broncos held him to 3.7 yards per carry, which is, you know, a pretty big deal for the leading rusher in 2019. Henry's longest yard only went for 13 yards, so they really limited his ability to break a big run or break a home run type run. But at the same time, I think, you know, from the Titans' perspective, there's certainly something to be said, you know, about a guy that continues to grind, continues to sort of methodically carve out yardage. And, you know, he got 116 yards. It did take 31 carries. But, you know, the Titans are now 14-0 all time when Henry goes above 100 yards rushing. So, you know, I think yards were hard to come by for Henry and the Titans' offensive line yesterday. But to me, it wasn't by any means, you know, a bad performance. It was just, you know, a situation where the Denver defense, even without Von Miller, is pretty good. And they stuck with the game plan, continued to roll with Henry. And, you know, I think it was overall a positive result for the rushing offense.
Talking with Eric Bacharach of the Tennessean, covers the Titans for them. So clearly Corey Davis, a huge story from last night's game. 7 catches for 101 yards. Looked like a completely different player, had some confidence. Do you think that some of that can be attributed to, you know, he's, I guess, viewed as the number 2 wide receiver, and now it's just go out there and play your game? But what did you make overall of Corey Davis's performance?
Yeah, you know, to me, he looked motivated. He looked like a guy that is in a contract year that didn't have his fifth-year option picked up and, you know, was trying to prove something. We know that he was questionable heading into the game with the hamstring injury. Both Mike Vrabel and A.J. Brown said after the game that, you know, that they don't know if he was 100%. And then A.J. Brown followed that by saying he played with 100% effort. And I think that much was clear. His 101 yards receiving were more than he had in any game in 2019. And look, if the Titans can get, you know, some semblance of that every game from Corey Davis, I don't, you know, he's not going to go over 100 yards receiving every game. But if he can be consistently there, you know, I think that's an element of the offense that really wasn't consistent last year. You know, you pair that with you figure A.J. Brown's going to bounce back from the game that he had yesterday. Adam Humphries was a factor. Again, it kind of felt like yardage was hard to come by, and it was more dinking and dunking than anything. But if you're able to get, you know, regular contributions from Corey Davis as far as his receiving production, you know, I think that's an element of the offense that, you know, wasn't there last season and, you know, could play a really big part in the Titans offense this year.
One of the knocks, Eric, on Mariota was that if he didn't have the first read, that's where it got dicey. Obviously, last night, Tannehill was passing the ball around. He targeted, I believe, 10 different players through the air. Is this what Arthur Smith has been hoping for so he can open up his playbook, because he knows that Tannehill's going to be able to go through his progressions and get the ball where it needs to go?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was a situation, again, where the Broncos defense was pretty good. The first read was not always open. And, you know, Tannehill found a way to stretch it out to, you know, a bunch of different receivers. You had, I think it was 4 guys, Corey Davis, Adam Humphries, A.J. Brown, Jonnu Smith, who all got at least 7 targets. You know, so that's spreading the ball around, making the most of what's, you know, a talented pass catching core. And, you know, to me, if you could get those regular contributions from all of those guys, you're in good shape. You know, the defense doesn't have to just focus on A.J. Brown. And, you know, to me, it's a testament to Tannehill's, focus and just poise in the pocket. You know, completed 67% of his passes, about 250, passing yards, didn't throw a pick. Was sacked only once. So, you know, I think he he made the most of his opportunities out there, even when things were not available on the first read.
How would you evaluate the depth on defense specifically when Rashawn Evans got thrown out, Will Compton got a lot of playing time? I know David Long was in there some too in different packages, but that's one thing that John Robinson has been pretty good at since he's been here, is building the depth of this team. What did you think about it last night?
You know, it's obviously not ideal when you've got Will Compton thrust in there for as many snaps as he was in there, you know, playing three quarters. But, you know, he was a four-game starter for the Raiders last year. I think, you know, he, as far as depth pieces go, he's a quality add. And I think, you know, David Long behind him is solid as well. He came on late last year as a rookie. You know, I think it boils down to you just don't expect Rashawn Evans to lose his cool like that. And he kind of puts you in an awkward spot and in a tough spot as far as the depth goes. But, you know, I think those guys did a fairly good job of replacing Evans, who, you know, we know is poised for a big year this year. You know, Compton was in, I believe he combined with Jeffrey Simmons on one of those really big goal line tackles. So, you know, I think he played an important part in the game yesterday. And as far as the depth on the whole, I think it's solid. You know, as far as the outside linebacking depth, last night that was an interesting situation just because you only had three guys available at that position with Clowney, Harold Landry, Kamwai Correa. But you have to figure at some point soon you get Derek Roberson, Vic Beasley back. And, you know, when those guys do get back, I think that position, you know, goes from liability, which it was in years past, to one of the strengths of this defense. So, you know, I think on the whole, the depth is something positive, but you just don't want to be put in a situation like you were last night when you have one of your star linebackers get ejected early.
Now we'll see who can get off to a 2-0 start in the AFC South. That's what's on the line this week. Eric, thanks for the visit. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Eric Bacharach covers the Titans for the Tennessean, and we'll come back. More reaction from you. Your thoughts on last night's victory over the Titans Broncos. What stood out to you? What did you like? What concerned you? We'll take your phone calls, also your text. Weigh in. Let's talk. We'll do that on the other side here on this Tuesday morning. Darren, Donnick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.